Okay, I want us to start this morning out of 2 Corinthians. And I gave Dean certain verses, and then I have added some. So, but that's not in 2 Corinthians that I added. I added in Philippians. So, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Okay, I've asked Dean to put some pictures on the screen for us this morning, because this is talking about the battle that is going on, and we need to understand what a stronghold is. So first, we're going to give you some images. Okay, who knows where this is? It's in St. Augustine, the Castile de San Marcos. All right? Who knows? Well, go back to that one for a second. We're going to take a little journey here. You're going to Florida. Who knows what the walls are made out of in this fortress? Coquino. Do you know why that is significant? All right. Coquino is actually deposits of shells, crushed up shells that have gone together with limestone to form, and they quarried this and built it all out of Coquino. When ships would come in with their cannons, the cannonball would hit the wall, and the wall would just suck the ball in, and it didn't crack it. This fortress was built, and I don't even think the people realized when they found that this was something that was there for them to use as a building material, and they mined it and built this fort, and it turned out perfectly for that time. What would have happened to a wooden fort? Those balls would have caused it to crack and break and eventually give way. Now, as we think about this, there's also, you'll see some walls coming out the sides. They had different walls there that they could be behind, and then eventually they would come up and into the fortress. On the top of this were cannons all the way around where you see each of those portholes. Those were all where cannons were. This is the first, St. Augustine is the first European city that has been in America, established. It didn't come as a city, but first town established, and has continuously been habitated. The oldest. All right? Now we'll go ahead. Here we have, and I don't know which one this one is. Dean does, because he got it, the picture for me. All right. But he had gone under European, so I think it's one of the European ones. Do you see how tall those walls are? It was a castle. Let's think about how hard it would be to get inside those walls if they didn't want you in there. How would they do that? Well, they would build ladders. What's the problem with ladders? They can be shoved back off the wall. They can drop boiling water, boiling oil, big rocks. Makes it very hard to get in there, doesn't it? So a fortress is well fortified. Fortress, fortified. All right. You got another picture for us, Dean? All right. What makes it hard to get into this fortress?
The moat.
The moat. You're going to have boats brought there. You're going to have some way. This bridge is only going to let a few people across. There's only a little landing there. So it would be easy to defend that area with the archers. You can't put ladders there. So it makes it hard to get around to the walls. Fortresses were designed to keep things out. Now, I've given you a picture, but now we're going to try to take it into the spiritual realm. I want you to recognize that it says that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Why would Jesus talk about demolishing strongholds? Actually, this was Paul's writings. Why would Paul write about demolishing strongholds? Why? Because we have these fortresses within us. Right here. Right in our mind. And they get built up. Once Satan gets a foothold, he starts expanding that foothold and protecting it and putting all of these things around it. These are the strongholds that have to be demolished. What does the word say this morning? Our weapons are strong. They aren't the weapons of the world. We don't need arrows. We don't need swords. We don't need anything except spiritual power. One, we need to recognize who we are in Christ. Remember, I've talked before about the fact that when you accept Jesus Christ, you're taken out of one kingdom, the kingdom of this world, and you are now placed in another kingdom. It has different rules and laws. It's just like when I cross from Ohio to West Virginia, sometimes there's a difference in the speed limits. Why? Because there's different laws. We need to learn the laws of the kingdom of heaven so that we can operate in victory. So, strongholds, where are they? They're right here in our mind. And they're because we have allowed for Satan to come in and with deception. Deception. That's how, remember it says, he is the father of lies. So, we need to learn to get rid of those deceptions. How do we do that? By studying the Word of God and by allowing the Holy Spirit to take that Word and then make it living within us. That still small voice. We were visiting my brother and his wife, my brother-in-law and his wife in Florida. Debbie has all kinds of books. Anyway, as I would pick one up and start to read, sometimes I would just get this foreboding feeling. And as I would read just a little further, it would be confirmed. There were things that as a Christian, I didn't need to be putting into my life. Did I continue reading that book? No, I put it down. Because I didn't want to build a stronghold in my mind. Okay. It says that it's going to demolish arguments and every pretension. Okay, do you know what arguments is when you look up the definition? It's a statement for or against something. That's where it's so important that we learn to discern the truth from the lie. Because those statements that we build our foundation on, if they're lies, what's going to happen when they're exposed? We're going to crumble. A pretension is an unpleasant quality of people who think of themselves as more impressive, successful, or important than they are. And this is what we do in our mind. We allow these arguments and these pretensions to come into our minds. Now, in the King James, they use the word imaginations. I want you to recognize that that word comes from the word logos. Logos is the word meaning an intelligent thought. But then it's twisted because while it's an intelligent thought, it may be a deception. This imagination. And that's why they used imagination instead of just the word that we use for logos. It's a twisted part of an intelligent thought. So, says that we are to take our thoughts captive. How many of you have had thoughts about someone that were not nice? Okay, yeah. You can sit there and giggle, but I know we've all done it. So I'll giggle right along with you because, yeah, I've done that too. But what does the Bible say I need to do when I start having those thoughts?
Change it.
I take them captive. I confront them. I say, this is not because you say that I should not be thinking this way. So I take it captive and I start changing. If I have a lustful thought, I must take it captive. That doesn't mean that I sit there and ponder if I can find a way around the law. That's what the Pharisees were so good at. They found ways around all the laws. For example, the Sabbath day's journey. You could only walk so far from your belongings. That was the way it was worded. So if they wanted to make a trip that was further than the Sabbath day's journey, they took a belonging that they had and went further along the path and set it down. So now they could double the path. We do the same thing. All right. Now let's look at Philippians, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I didn't give Dean the right verse, or I didn't put in the right verses. I decided after I put them in, I wanted more of it. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I love the bulletin board, Susie. How many of you have read the bulletin board? You need to look at the bulletin board before you go home today. She was talking about letting God come in. And you just have to look at it. It just struck me. I thought, gee, thank you, Susie. All right. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Did you hear that? What is our normal human reaction? Those of us who don't like snowstorms, oh no, a snowstorm is coming. I'm going to have to drive in it. And I might start worrying. Or I worry about what's going to happen to someone else. What does the Bible say about worry? Do not be anxious. Repeat after me. Do not be anxious. All right, this is what I do in Sabbath school all the time. So I'm sorry. I'm back in my kid mode. All right. So we need to recognize when those thoughts come in our mind, what are we supposed to do? Take them captive. All right. But instead, I put prayer. I present it to God. And I thank Him that He is trustworthy.
Amen.
I can trust Him. If He takes my life today, where am I going to be tomorrow? In His hands.
That's it.
Do I need to worry about it?
No.
No. All right. Do not be anxious. It says, take it and present it in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. If we're being anxious, what happens to the peace of God? Yeah. Been there, done that. The peace of God. And I love this. Because he repeats that phrase. And he just flips it. So keep watching. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. Think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
The peace of God and the God of peace. Did you hear that? Must be important because he's really bringing it back in. He starts with it and he ends with it. Hallelujah. So, I have a gift for you this morning. Lan and Johnny, can you come help me? Please pass out to that side, you to this side, so everyone has one of these. From these scriptures, we should recognize certain things. God cares about what I think. It matters to him about my thinking. Because strongholds can be built up. Remember, just a couple weeks ago, I said, this is a new year. Let's take a challenge. This is something I want you to think about. I want you to stick it someplace where you're going to have it ready to grab when you need it. Okay? And just to be able to pull it out. Because my thinking matters to God, I am choosing to change my thinking patterns. When I am feeling negative, frustrated, or angry, I will take every thought captive. I will think on the things that are true, noble, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. And what's going to happen? You're going to receive the peace of God. It's going to dwell within you. The God of peace will come and dwell. So, would you read this with me this morning? Because my thinking matters to God, I am choosing to change my thinking patterns. When I am feeling negative, frustrated, or angry, I will take every thought captive. I will think on the things that are true, noble, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. And it comes right from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6, and Philippians 4, actually 6 through 9. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the promise that there is no place, no place at all that we can go that you will not be there. We thank you for the membership in your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, that has come to be with us and to help us to dwell and live victoriously and abundantly. In Jesus' name, we thank you, our Father. Amen.